threatened. So this is just one way of dealing with it. And of course, the continuous daily expression of love is very important, because this tall poppy syndrome causes us to withhold love and withhold the expression. And not only that, but in New Zealand, withholding love and appreciation and expression has become a virtue. And that is the most insidious thing in New Zealand. That's a very New Zealand thing. But by recognizing it and doing some things that I have listed here for you to do, things to not do and things to do, it can be totally changed. And it's essential. And I am calling for that. I'm calling for that to be changed. It must be changed.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Red Beach, just north of Auckland, I have Elandra Meredith, and she's a New Zealand-raised international health and healing practitioner, the author of From Stardom to Wisdom, Healing and Love Beyond the Spotlight, and an up-and-coming book, Voices and Visions of Sacred Earth. She's also a New Zealand Prize winner scholar from Auckland University and an international prize winner dancer, and she even went and co-starred with both Roger Moore and Tony Curtis in London in their little Hollywood. And while at university longing for wisdom and vision and finding only vapid intellectualism, she frequently contemplated suicide. But later, as a movie actress in the world of celebrity, fame and fortune, she was horrified by the exploitation and addiction to money and power. So turning her life to spirituality, dressed in white, running a Californian ashram yoga center for 20 years, she experienced how giving away your power and healing and energy to devotion that can help empower the self-aggrandizing, power-hungry guru and holy drag to betray, exploit, and abuse hundreds of thousands of people. After finding soul family and immersion in the Aloha healing shamanism of Hawaii, her mission became clear to expose corruption, what does not work, and encourages purification of the character instead of multiplication of wants, and to share freely the daily expression of big love, awakening oneness and awareness and authentic feelings and sacred activism. And she's on the phone today with a message for us all. So, kia ora and aloha, Elandra.
Kia ora and aloha. Tim, how wonderful to talk to you. You are such a devoted lover of sacred earth and land. You have given us so much, and holding a space for people's voices to express reverence for the land and to make a difference. And not only that, but you're an extraordinary authority on the past of New Zealand, how things used to be in the corporations and businesses. You spouted out all these facts and figures, and I was blown away. You are amazing, and I am so grateful for you in New Zealand. Thank you, and I love you, Tim.
Well, I love you too, and thank you. Humility over the public radio system makes my heart feel I'm very vulnerable, and I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Elandra. Yes, well, it's just how it happened. I mean, the opportunity came to become a radio interviewer of people who were doing good things for the world, and I just felt that I had to fill the slot and be here and sort of hold a space for good, good people who want to be able to share with New Zealanders some of the finer points of life and let them understand that we're spiritual beings having an earth experience on this planet.
Yeah, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Elandra. Because at the moment, now that we've had our pause of 2.5 months in New Zealand, where we had time to ask the question, is this what life's about? Is this why I appeared on this planet, to go through this tumultuous time of upheaval and disconnection when there's 7.7 billion people on the planet and so many of us were affected by something that was invisible and was insidiously allowed to travel from country to country, affecting so many people, taking lives and devastating so many families?
The real virus is not that. The real virus is tall poppy syndrome and how that came to be and how it continues to live inside people. That is the virus.
There's a lot of psychological challenges, because this week I've just edited an interview with Paul Levy and
I know Paul Levy. He's great with his Wetiko, Breaking the Curse of Evil book. Fantastic. He talks about the war on consciousness and talks about how this indeed, what we're just talking about, that it's a virus that can easily affect everybody in the world, that is the very opposite of love and support. And as we talk about it right now, as we identify it, it doesn't like to be seen. So it can begin to be lessened. And every moment that we talk about love, like I just said to you, I love you.
Yes.
That is the antidote. Every moment that we can say that, and saying that does not cheapen it. You know, hey, let's say it to ourselves. I can say to me, I love you, Alondra. Everybody who's listening can say that to themselves, because that is the antidote. That is what works. And we can do that to each other and all day. It's very, very important to love, to acknowledge, to appreciate each other. That can take away the power of all the negative energy in the world. And that's why we're talking about this now, because that's what has to happen now. It has to happen. The negative things have to be stopped, and we have to choose to do this. And we must start right now to affect our children, to affect the world. So I'm pretty passionate.
Well, I love you for it. Now, can I just jump in? Thank you, Alondra. Yes, love. It passes through walls. It transcends darkness. It is most powerful force in the universe. Because essentially, it has to come from somewhere, and we can touch it through our inner self. But God also is the emanator of this profound feeling of love.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, this tall poppy. Now, when you spoke to me on the phone the other day, you gave me some very good reasons why we need to address this right at this moment. Because it's about disconnection. We're not actually a family or whānau or in Hawaii, ohana. We have forgotten to be family as brothers and sisters. So can you take us forward on this one?
Yeah, and the reason for that is because of what we were just saying about the real virus is this, what Paul Levy is calling Wetiko. A Native American term for a certain energy that got installed in us, and we must recognize it. As we recognize it, acknowledge it, learn about that is already the healing. You know, that is already it. It is as simple as that. It's as simple as saying, I love you, to yourself and to others, and feeling it, and then it loses its energy. And the energy, as it manifests in the body, is the inner critic that puts you down within yourself, and that causes you to put other people down. You know, it becomes a habit. So as we conquer that insidious voice, it happens naturally as we keep talking about love, of that inner critic. That's the foundation of this horrific thing called tall poppy. And when I did this first, as I expressed it and allowed it to speak out, let me just say what it was saying in a very sneery voice. I was astonished, because where did that come from? It said, you'll never write your book, Alondra. You've been trying for 30 years. Just give up, you pathetic woman. Why don't you just go die? I wrote this down. And after I wrote it, after I just heard it and welcomed it and wrote it down, it disappeared because it doesn't like to be seen and acknowledged. And now I have a voice inside that doesn't say anything negative to me about myself. It says, I love you, Alondra. So that's just one thing that you can do. And when you have that understanding about what it is and why it causes, I sent it to 800 people, because that's part of it, going public. It doesn't like that. And after that, it dissolved, it was gone. And instead, I have a voice that says, I love you, Alondra. So having a voice inside that says that, now that is a good antidote, isn't it? That's a good antidote to begin to certainly not need to attack other people when you have a fear that they're better than you and it might show you up. People feel threatened. So this is just one way of dealing with it. And of course, the continuous daily expression of love is very important because this tall poppy syndrome causes us to withhold love and withhold the expression. And not only that, but in New Zealand, withholding love and appreciation and expression has become a virtue. And that is the most insidious thing in New Zealand. That's a very New Zealand thing. But by recognizing it and doing some things that I have listed here for you to do, things to not do and things to do, it can be totally changed. And it's essential. And I am calling for that. I'm calling for that to be changed. It must be changed.
Well, when you say self-love, and when it comes to self-love, that's been the greatest battle of my whole life. It's just turn around and say, gosh, I love you, Tim, for what you do. And yeah. When we love ourselves a lot more, all of a sudden our inner candle burns stronger. And with our inner candle burning this way, we illuminate ourselves far more. And actually, we start to glow. And this yes. inner glow can be expressed just by being in the world and helping people.
Yes, yes. To deliberately help people is one of the things that's important to help others. To do seva, we use that word from India, right? To do seva is selfless service to those who are in need. That is one of the wonderful things that can be done that helps heal this tall poppy syndrome.
Thank you. Yes. So can you tell me, you've come to New Zealand numerous times and you've seen a change in the way we do life. And I know I've had two friends who've come back from 40 years overseas and they come back into New Zealand now. They cannot integrate into the country. They find themselves always on the outside of groups of people. And these successful businessmen, and they find that in many cases, there's a lot of pretentiousness at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all part of it. And certainly I feel that every time I come back from Hawaii, which of course is very special because of the aloha energy that has always been there and still is there. The aloha meaning a joyful sharing of life energy in the present. And that is always supportive and loving. So I come back from that and arrive into New Zealand and instantly feel a repression from out of the expansion of the heart. I feel, and there's a sense of deep sorrow, a grief that is held back, anger that is held back and not expressed, unshared tears, deep grief. And I think, oh, why? Why is this? Why is this the highest suicide rate in the world for youth and over 60? What is it about New Zealand? And all I can think of is that the tall poppy syndrome or the virus, Wetiko, has really gotten a hold here in spite of wonderful people and wonderful work going on here. But I really feel the contraction when I return from the United States. And from I was just in five states in the United States. And you know what people don't realize is that these five states are five countries.
That's
each
right.
Each one bigger than New Zealand. There's 50 countries in the United States, and they're different from each other. And it was wonderful. It was so beautiful and so expansive because it's so big. I think that the heart has more room. It's big, and people support the bigness of the heart. People support each other more. You know, there's a lot with the tall poppy syndrome that it's really suppressed people from expressing their truth of how they really feel. There's a taboo on talking about feelings,
yes,
on talking about negative feelings, and there's a taboo on expression, and there's a taboo certainly on talking about suicide. It's almost like the word is a, oh, no, you know. They talk about, well, we don't want to encourage it, and that being the reason. But it's so important to heal this, to recognize that healing is necessary, and there's so many ways that it can be done, because we never had the opportunity to feel our feelings. When we were babies, little children, and we cried, it would have been wonderful if the parent had said, oh, that's really great that you're crying. Oh, that's great that you're angry. Yeah. Just let yourself feel that. Just let yourself welcome that. You know, we were shut up instantly. We were made to feel bad. We were made to feel small and worthless. And, you know, we were never encouraged. The feelings were never welcomed. And that is the biggest thing that is needed here in New Zealand. And it's hard for people to even understand that. I've been teaching here. I've been sharing. I've been teaching at festivals and workshops, and still it's hard for people to understand that they even have feelings. I certainly didn't know that as a child.
I didn't either.
Them, and that they can identify them and verbalize them, because once you do that, once you verbalize, hey, I feel so angry, I'm recognizing my anger, I really, and you can scream and yell into a pillow or a punching bag, but you recognize it. That is the transformation, you know, recognizing it. And, of course, having somebody to support you to do that is a big deal. But, no, there's a big distrust of mental health and going to psychologists and all that, understandably, because even though they are trained, they're not trained in how to do this. It's so intellectual. They're not trained in how to track how you feel in your body and where it is, and say, okay, oh, you feel it, yeah, it's in your throat, oh yeah, okay, just feel it there and welcome it there, yes, tightness and feeling like I'm being poked, good, it's wonderful, welcome that. And in the doing that, if a helper or a facilitator or a psychologist can do that, that is how that healed, you know. But talking about it from an intellectual standpoint is not changing things. It is not from the heart. And it is only when we can really, you know what I do? Every session, every client of mine becomes a friend.
This way.
A friend for life.
Yes.
They become ohana.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that I love them. And that's all there is to it. And you know what? It's so simple then. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to fix, heal, save something, or even change something, because it all happens in the moment as you are being with somebody, just being present with somebody in what comes up. We don't even know what's coming up. No agenda. We don't even know what's going to happen. And then the sensations in the body start happening. And then maybe memories. And then the feelings, and a facilitator say, oh, welcome that. Oh, that's good. Wonderful. That's it. It's simple.
Yes. Well, what you're doing is you're holding the space for that person to trust themselves with you,
yes,
and allow,
yes,
their vulnerabilities to be expressed.
Yes.
Yes. It's a soothing situation. And the other thing too, of course, psychology. The word psych is Greek for soul. And in New Zealand and all in the Western world, essentially we have obliterated soul out of the vernacular.
It's, yes.
And you see, there's a whole other dimension in understanding the human body and
yes,
what it.
And, you know, that's understood in the indigenous world, such as very clearly in the Hawaiian understanding. Unihipili is the body and the subconscious, and that's understood now in psychology, right? So what the body is feeling is always perhaps repressed emotion and so on. So there's three things that understood in the indigenous world, right? There's that unipili, and then there's the mental, and then there's the spiritual. And somehow, as you say, we forgot the spiritual. And certainly, it's not understood in religions either. They're also threatened by self-empowerment, threatened by the body, because they have mostly also become a controlling organization.
Yes.
That just wants to control people. And as I say this, we also want to remember the bigger perspective that we live in a patriarchal world, and it hasn't always been this way. It's not that matriarchal is something in opposition to patriarchal. It's just the honoring of the earth, of the feelings, of nature. That's what, once upon a time, there were such societies, and they were advanced from that point of view. They were advanced in moving the pyramids because they could do it with their feelings. They could do it with the authenticity of who they were, in integration and coherence of all three of themselves, the body and the mental body and the spirit. They understood all that. And I believe that such times are coming back, that that is the purpose of this huge upheaval, to wake us up some more. And it must be done. Absolutely must be done. I'm calling for it. I'm demanding it. It's got to be done.
Yes.
Quit all the things that stop you, that are negative, that stop you from your true self, being who you really are. Nobody knows who they really are anymore. They're saying to all the counselors, my friends tell me this, they're saying, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am anymore. And they never knew anyway, because for these reasons. So that's it. It really ends up being quite simple in terms of the list of things we can do. Stop the negative stuff. Quit the programming. It's called programming for a reason, from the TV. Join. Now, there's tremendous success on Facebook groups who are supporting each other. Join groups to learn more and support each other on the groups. Learn to do that. So protect yourself and your pineal gland, because that is what relates directly to spirit. Protect that from your poisoning of the GMOs, the whole long list.
Yes.
EMFs.
5G.
Electromagnetic field, radiation. We can protect ourselves. 1080, the poisoning of the rivers and lakes in New Zealand. We can protect ourselves from these things. And fluoridation, keep our pineal glands in good shape. There are a lot of things we can do. I've got a whole long list. And if anybody wants, I will send it to them. Such support is essential. And there's so many groups that give that. So we stop doing these negative things, and then we can simultaneously, immediately add some kind of breathing to your daily routine, expressing appreciation, acknowledgement, and love to somebody, to yourself, of course, and to somebody. Those two things.
It's easy.
Begin with those two things.
Another level too, we're going through a planetary catharsis at the moment, and it's a wonderful opportunity now to take in what you're saying, gather the tools together so that we can actually grow into the light of our own true selves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a process, isn't it? It's a long healing process. It's long on the one hand. The longest journey you'll ever take is from your head to your heart.
Correct.
It is long, and yet it's instant at the same time. Growth takes time, but change is instant. It can be instant with that intention.
That's the word.
The power of intention.
You took that out of my mouth. I was just going to say intention, and you said it. And this is how synchronicity works. But again, it's how we, what we intend to do, and how we bring about an intention.
Yes.
That's honourable. That's of a higher order.
Yes, and recognize the things that hurt us and stop doing them. And, of course, I know it's incredibly hard for people. There's a lot in New Zealand. There is a lot of antidepressants, pill popping going on, and drugs of all kinds. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? What I'm giving talks on now is the brain, because if you can see how your brain is affected by alcohol, by drugs, by continuous negative thoughts, Dr. Daniel Amen has scanned the thousands, hundreds of thousands of brains, and you can see the good and you can see the bad and you can see the difference. And when people see that, they can get off. I know it's so hard to change these negative habits, but even just seeing the pictures and books, you don't actually have to have a brain scan, but see the pictures and the books and know how it's affecting, because everyone wants a good brain.
Yes.
You know, right? That these things affect you. Important to protect yourself. Don't watch violence. Don't do violent video games. Ideally, we would ban the creation of such violence through movies and everything else, because it affects the psyche very deeply. So avoiding violence on TV and, of course, verbal violence, keeping company with people who are not doing verbal violence, or finding strength through a support buddy to counter it, to stop it in its tracks. Verbal violence is very prevalent in New Zealand. I mean, you know, I love my country. It's very sad to me. I just have to be an activist continuously for New Zealand to come back to its clean, green beauty and everything good about it. Everything that people in the idealism look to New Zealand for, because they do, people who've heard of New Zealand. And yet they come here, just as you just said, they come here and they are shocked. There's a website that talks about how shocked they are and how terrible it is for people coming here. This tall poppy syndrome is very insidious in New Zealand. Now, there's a young man who's created a video. It's called New Zealand's Dirty Little Secret. I found it on YouTube. And it's a wonderful thing to watch, because identifying it, recognizing it, is certainly already the beginning of the healing. And he talks about being a musician and how nobody gives any appreciation. They'll do a show and nobody applauds or give any appreciation. And, you know, they only want to appreciate people who are already famous.
Well, this is the difference between New Zealand and Australia. And up there, of course, they have cheerleaders in the States. And they turn it into revelry. They turn it into an event. And I know, I've been in the States so many times, and you'll be in a picture theatre and something happens and the whole picture theatre may erupt. There's always applause, there's always shouting and God knows what. You know what it's like. You come to New Zealand and they're all sullen. And this is one of the sad stories about this country, because when you get New Zealanders one-on-one, they're lovely. But yes, when you get them sitting in an audience, they get shy. They don't actually want to stand up. And I'd like to actually see very few Kiwis really want to get up and stand in front of a microphone, because people are terrified of presenting themselves.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I was raised here, right, believing women are bad drivers, you know. And I really had to teach myself how to do that, how to be an actress and model, because of all of these put-downs that, there was so much jealousy. Like this was typical of what happens to beautiful women. Mind you, I didn't know I was beautiful. It would never occur to me to think I was beautiful. Nobody told me.
You were just natural.
Nobody told me. Yeah. Nobody ever told me.
Okay.
Nobody told me that I was clever. I got the highest marks ever given in New Zealand for all kinds of things. But nobody told me. It still made no difference to me. I felt deep inside so worthless.
Yes.
I was worthless because I was always just being attacked in one way or another. And I just didn't. Where was somebody to talk to about it? There wasn't. And I was so lonely, I just wanted to suicide. I was at 4 years, 5 years at university. And I just wanted to suicide pretty much the whole time. And there I was, you know, the brainy and beautiful, and and I didn't know it. And I had no friends, and I didn't know why, and there was nobody to talk to. There was no counselling in those days.
Yes. I mean, I know myself how I was brought up, And I remember when I got my school seat, Dad turned around and shook my hand. And sort of that was it. When we have a look at it, I mean, nearly a tenth of New Zealand went to war in the First World War. We just had about 1 million people and 100,000 men went off to war. And then when they came back, they might have been the winners, but they were brutalised whilst overseas, and there was no help for them. And then Dad's father went to war, and then Dad also went and fought against the Italians and the Germans. And he came back, and he was traumatised. He had bad dreams, and he didn't even know how to really relate to his family either. And yet, there's the other side of a coin. I mean, Germany was obliterated in the Second World War, and the Germans have come back. And sure, they're a very hardy race, and I've spent some time with some Germans, and the younger Germans seem to be relatively able to share certain feelings, but then again, there's levels of that, if you know what I mean. But but coming back from a war is horrendous, and not
horrific.
Being...
Yep. PTSD. Post-traumatic stress syndrome in the world. It's almost like a worldwide cultural PTSD. That's really, and that is part of the tall poppy syndrome. That's the reason for it.
I'm speaking with Alandra Meredith. She's the founding director of Lomi Chi Chakra Healing Sessions and Trainings. She's also a Living Love Kundalini Yoga teacher, trainer. And she also has written books, From Stardom to Wisdom, Healing and Love Beyond the Spotlight. And you can get her on www.healthhealing.org, healthhealing.org. Well, the returning troops from America, from the Middle East, particularly Afghanistan and Iraq, 18 American soldiers commit suicide every day. This is a horrendous record. They've lost more from returning home. I mean, the broken hearts of mothers who since have died, the families that have split. There has to be a way in which, via the media, I mean, it's not expressed on TV, it's not expressed in the media, really in this country, about how we can lift up the people, because I think in many cases in New Zealand, the churches have done a lousy job over the last 70 years. I mean, some will say they've done a lousy job right from the start.
Yes, they're all about indoctrination, control.
That's right. And again, people are brought up now to think that they're a body, and that's all they are. And they're here to reproduce, to die. And they don't actually realise that every baby born into this realm is an energy bundle of exponential potential. And and from a spiritual point of view, we go on beyond death. Death is not spoken about here.
Yeah, and then they might get into meditation. And the meditation, I am not my body. And that, if you could say simultaneously, I am my body and I honour it while recognising that I am... Even more than that, I live in the third dimension. I honor it here. I honor my feelings. Simultaneously, I am in the fifth dimension, and I live there. That is who I really am. And at the same time, I don't deny the third. I don't say this is lesser than, you know, like heaven is great, but this place is pathetic. You know, the sooner you get to heaven, the better. Which religions say, are you going to go to hell, right, whatever. So recognizing both dimensions. There's this thing called spiritual bypassing, you know, right, where people just get into spirituality in a desperation and forget to recognize that's what's happening, that they are...
Not present.
Yeah.
Not present.
Yeah.
And they're projecting into the future all the time, and they're just living for the time that, oh, well, I'm going to die soon.
And you know, pursuing spirituality becomes an escape.
That's right.
Becomes palliative. Becomes so much as just palliative, just getting by, just surviving, rather than true healing. So that's what happens. They get into that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to recognize and honor both. We need to honor the body as well and all of its feelings and all of what's going on with it and take care of it In Hawaii, we call malama. Malama, if you care for the body. Because,
yes.
Not just because it's a vehicle, but because it's sacred. It's sacred.
This is where we've forgotten this whole connection to a greater reality. And then, because I met you in Hawaii way back in the year 2000, then we have this wonderful word, ho'oponopono. Can you express a little bit more about this?
Yes, yes. Let me do that. Ho'oponopono. Now, ho'o means to empower, to make, pono. And pono means, pono is a wonderful word. It's incredible because really without pono, you don't have anything. You can't really have love. You can't have happiness in life without pono. It means congruent integrity within and with all of those parts that we just talked about, the three, you know, the body and the mind and the soul. It means integrity and reciprocation and with people and in relationships. It means sacred reciprocation with nature. Pono is an amazing, wonderful word that means all of those things. So Ho'oponopono has become known and popular. The Ho'oponopono, is just missing right now. Let me just think. You know, it's become known as a kind of forgiveness thing.
That's right.
Can you remember?
No, I'm unable to. But essentially, it is a blessing into health that essentially we haven't in the English-speaking word got a word for what ho'oponopono is. We lack that word.
Yes. Well, you know, it's usually about forgiveness, right?
Yes.
Forgive me, thank you, love, forgive me, thank you, I love you. Those are the words we use.
Yes.
Forgive me, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. But let me just say that the way it's being used and taught is also lacking.
Thank you.
It's been taken by a psychologist or whatever. And the reason that it's lacking, I love you, thank you, you know, is that it's not applied to oneself. It's applied to forgiveness for others, but you have to forgive yourself first.
Yes, yes.
And that is totally missing, yeah.
Well, I think this is where Western psychology is still grappling with understanding the human psyche, the human soul.
Yes,
that's right. And this is why we're in the situation it is, because New Zealand is stuck. It is actually stuck on so many levels when it comes to open communication. Really, upon a time we used to sit at the table.
Jim, it's so sad, you know. What is it? Oh, what's a suicide? 71 a week, 10 a day suicide. Oh, yeah, tell me more. What are you saying? Stuck in communication, yes.
Yes, well, the big communication problem that I feel is the relationship between mums and dad. There are no too many non-present fathers here in this country. When I worked in Parimorimo Maxi Security, we had huge numbers of men. It's like 90% of the prison population in New Zealand are males, and it's only 10% females. What does that tell you?
Yes.
And this is, I think, very, very important that we have to deal with this. Just like I got a friend, and she was counselling this guy, and he had 25 children to five different mothers. And if you have a look and you go around and find where those 25 children are, how many would be alive? And I'm talking suicide.
Yeah.
I'm talking suicide. How many are in jail? How many doing drug addiction? How many are in some sort of psychiatric situation? How many are in broken relationships with alcoholism, drugs, and God knows what else? And maybe only two or three would have been able to get their inner fire strong enough to be able to bust out of that particular lifetime that they've had. And so I think this is a big one. The other one is too, when I was a kid, we used to have be at the table, TV and TV dinners, and now fast foods. We're getting trash food, and the food does not support our brain. If we're having homogenized everything, and this is what's happening, we are ourselves becoming a homogenous race, and we can see this with all the different 5G, fluoride, GE, glyphosate, all this adding to the unhealthiness of the country. And yet we do not have any leadership in this country. There are no males. I'm meeting so many women at the moment, and they say, Tim, where are the men? Where are the men? There's no men present. And I'm going to bust these men at the moment, because as far as I'm concerned, they haven't got any women's strength to get up there and think of a greater goodwill to the world. They don't want to be able to do service for a greater good. They're only involved really in service to self. And so that too is a big problem.
And that's a good one for you to interview people about.
Well, we need them. I mean, who's a corporate leader at the moment in New Zealand who has actually said, okay, we've got to actually look at environmental situations. We've got to have a look at housing. Why is it we've got all these kids who are on either drugs or medication or sleeping on the footpaths? They won't even mention it, because it's not cool to be a business leader and really stand up. There was one leader, I think, in Main Freight, the big trucking company, who has actually stood up and said something. So I need to speak to him.
Wow. Yes. So this problem of communication and leadership and men and women who, like, as I said, it's very hard because deep inside they feel very worthless. And it's really a long road to start recognizing that, and not, in order to have some power, to not follow the male version of power.
Thank you.
Which is you know, pretty violent and
condescending,
and competitive. And some women do that because they don't know. You know, from that point of view, women are also upholding the patriarchy, because they haven't recognized that. They're trying their best to be more competitive and more like men.
I know. I had an argument with my sister about 40 years ago, and she was critical of men even then. And I said to her, you know what? The problem is that women are allowing themselves to be taken down to the vibrations of men. And so many women go into relationships, and I know right now there are heaps of women all over in my local area who are splitting from their husbands, and they're women in their late 50s into their 60s, etc. And they've had enough of the men. They've realized that the men will just hit the telly, hit the pizza, grab a beer or two or three or four or five or six beers. The men are just not players in the game. They've opted out. So I said to her, you cannot allow yourself to have the men drag the vibrations down. And the story is, and it's a sad story, is that the women are the ones who are carrying the future of our planet at the moment. The men aren't there. And so yet again, they've been repressed for thousands of years. They've just broken out of slavery when New Zealand gave them the vote in 1893. And now they realize that they've got to take care of our future with this fast-coming environmental challenge. The economics are going totally haywire at present. And then we've got this thing called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, where everything's electrified. And guess it's the mums who are going to do it. And I apologize that we men have yet not been able to stand in our power, where after the Second World War, the men in New Zealand, the British actually clarified the men in New Zealand as long, lean and ranging. Look at the men of today, and what descriptive prose would you do? And it's, you know, and I know some real good men, and there's some fantastic men out there, but there's not many of them. They're scarce. But the good ones are really super good, and all the rest, regrettably, they're just not present. Distracted.
They were raised without fathers. They were raised without any presence, either from fathers or mothers. Mothers were desperate. They were just desperate to survive.
Yes.
And had no idea how to raise them, never learned a darn thing. I was just recognizing, I spent 5 years at university learning all of this stuff. I did so many courses in class, anthropology and languages. I was top of the class and ton of stuff. And I never learned a darn thing about what really matters.
Human relationships.
What really matters, how to live.
Yes.
How to live, how to communicate, how to love.
That's right. And also, I'm a great believer in learning about conflict resolution. How to resolve situations and negotiate through a blockage.
Yes.
Go for the win-win. We didn't know about win-win or win-win-win.
Exactly. And non-violent communication is going on here in New Zealand, I understand. But also, it hasn't gotten to the heart yet. It's like, you know, somebody will say something about how they feel, and the facilitator will say, well, that's not really a feeling. And that's that.
Yeah, well, this is,
no.
I hear you.
Still, these things are of value and are beginning to help, of course, and support. And
We needed a lot more.
Shall I say something about a comparison that I've had recently?
Okay.
And by the way, New Zealanders are highly defensive. You know, you can't say to them anything like they're very defensive of their country. But anyway, I want to say something positive about our Western world. Because I had the interesting experience of going to India for the first time last year, a short time ago.
In India, did you say?
India.
Yeah.
Yes.
Namaste.
Yes, and I recognize we've come a long way. We've come a long way because at least we're talking about these things. Whereas over there, it's extraordinary how women are still treated. Near where I stayed for Ayurvedic treatment, there was a woman who was starved in front of the children, starved to death. And it's called honor killings, and it's condoned.
Oh, yes.
Simply because her family had promised an additional dowry, you know, fathers have to pay to have somebody marry their daughters. So the family was promised additional, and they couldn't do it because they went bankrupt because of they were farmers. And so they murdered the daughter. They murdered her in front of the kids, and the mother-in-law did it with the husband. And this is condoned. This is accepted. This is called honor killings. And it goes on all the time in India. And then, of course, Sharia law with the Muslims who were part of India were stoning to death for showing an ankle, being all covered up. All of this is extraordinary. And then I found out, even amongst the well-to-do people, because we stayed with him, because Antion's very revered for his music, and they feel very honored to have us stay with him. And there were two very well-to-do families, and they cannot begin to trust their own servants. The servants will steal from them. There is no honesty. So, you know, I came back, and I thought, Oh, my God, New Zealand is so wonderful. Oh, look, people are staying in their lanes. Look, they're driving in their lanes.
That's right, and not tooting the horn all the time.
And so it was very interesting for me to make that comparison, because from an early age, from the age of 17 at university, when I recognized the horrific betrayal and I recognized tall poppy syndrome at that time, I came to realize that what this world was about. From an early age, I have been down on Western culture and Western civilization. It's not to say that I'm still not, you know, I mean, you know, we got a long way to go, but in comparison, we've come a long way in comparison with what I intuited. I didn't see it in front of my eyes, but I intuited. And the women still can't say anything. The woman who was being murdered slowly by starvation, she did not tell her parents, because that would not be honorable. So she died. And that was just condoned and accepted. And, you know. Okay, so now, something else I want to say. I think that we have the power. I really think that we have the power to change this. And an interesting thing happened. When I came back to New Zealand last time, there was the usual sense of contraction and unshed tears. And I thought, wow, I'm not going to allow myself to go down with this. And then I found in my notes, my endless notes of having studied 33 healing modalities and practicing them and practicing in 5 healing centers and having hundreds of thousands of testimonials to my work, all of this, there was still something that was needed in this situation. And I found amongst my notes, I found an affirmation. And shall I read it to you?
Please.
Okay. And I did it, and it made a difference. I know and believe I have now in power conquered victoriously the limiting, subtle, psychotic, neurotic, insecurity and elitism of the New Zealand psyche, the tall poppy syndrome, that great knocking machine that wants and tries to cut and put me down and to crush my spirit and potential. I read it out loud to myself, just like this. And that was it. That was it.
Excellent.
I wasn't affected by it anymore.
Good. And I'm really pleased that you can do this, because we need to share this with New Zealanders so we can get on top of ourselves, so we can get out there and participate as family,
yes,
and as neighbours, yes, and as community, and really do what we do best, is actually be team players and have team spirit.
Yes. So now, just for our last minutes, I want to talk about the Indigenous way of viewing things. Because, of course, living in Hawaii for many years, it was mind-boggling. Okay, let's just say then that Indigenous have the clue with the being closer to nature and talking to trees and rocks and being able to do that. And they know certain things that are simply about welcoming a child into a sacred circle when the child is born, about giving them their own song, about healing them when they start going wrong, so there's no need for prisons. There are such societies, such Indigenous societies. And that is part of what the antidotes are, to learn about that. So I have lots of ideas for antidotes, and I've got them written down, and I'd be happy to send them to anybody.
Good. And you're offering a free books sent by PDF, correct?
Yes, yes.
Can you quickly say?
I had to write a book about healing. I wanted to, because I've had miracle healings. I've had a broken ankle healed overnight, proven by x-rays. I've had a cancer in all organs on my healing table. 10 days later, all tests proven gone. I had to write a healing book. But first, I had to tell my story. From stardom to wisdom, healing and love beyond the spotlight is my first book. And then there's a book that I've written, not yet published, up and coming, The Voices and Visions of Sacred Earth, So these can be sent to anybody by PDF, and also any other support you need, email me. And trainings, healing trainings, I will do everything for free because this world really needs it. And nobody should be held hostage by money and by the health system or any other way. So all of this is being offered for free, including Antion CD, because
he's your husband.
If you accept the goddess, there'll be love, light, and healing in the world. His CD, One and the Goddess, that's available too for free. So it's just that it takes time because I'm traveling. But all of this, I would love to give to anybody who is interested in connecting with me.
Okay, Elandra at healthhealing.org. Okay, Elandra at healthhealing.org.
Email, that's my email, yes.
Yep.
Elandra at healthhealing.org. And the website is healthhealing.org.
Okay. Sorry, okay. Thank you. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Love and light
love
to you.
Love you too.
Okay, love you too. And I'm going to play a song by Antion, who is the husband of Elandra, and he sings a Hawaiian song, Kamala i'i o ka po. Kamala i'i o ka po.
Au hea waleove, kamali i o ka po. Ei aho I au, kamali I o ke au wā ke a kalandi. Papa kaunua, nuka luna ko luna, nuka lalo ko lalo.
Uwa ke a kaikolua me o pap, o pap hānau muku kawahine, hānau teiti tu, hānau teiti moe. Hano kia papa ni, hano kia papa na, hano
papa
ka maka ia o keiki maka ia o lau, uwa kia laua o muka ne. Maene ino I mea wa te aloha,
au hea wale,
lai ka honua, ea mai ka mo. Hano ka ina, hano ke aliki, hano ke kanaka. O ka wai ka ina o nā kukuna. Ke o noa, ke o poku, ke o kia, ke o hālo. Ke o ka lani, nā iuri uri mai, nele nele mai, pola pola mai, hai hai. E o mai, i laua ke o kapu vai lani, o nohi nohi ula. E o mai, ka vai kapu o ka lani, e o ka mai, ka ma lani. E o ka vai kai lani māli, e o ka hula li rai. Kuinua te aloha I ho mai aloha e aloha e aloha e aloha e
fantastic, eh? Yes, this is definitely quite superb. Kia ora and mahalo. Thank you, Antion. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life. In a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.7 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say, Kia Kaha and Haere Uraha.